Wow. Did you hear how wonderfully Terry pronounced every one of those words? This is not an easy reading. It is written in churchese. You see, here's the thing about this. Terry, you did wonderful. But we were talking before the service. She said, how do I pronounce these? And was coaching and everything. And I said, look, if you want to get to that part and just say a whole bunch of places and then just keep going, it's all going to work, because it doesn't really matter if you can pronounce these words when you read it. You did so wonderfully. And everyone's like, yes, look, even applause. How often do you get applause for the scripture reading? I mean, never, yeah. But whether you get these words, it doesn't matter. But in church, we do have this idea that you got to say it right, you got to do it right, you got to know the words. We have our own language. We have churchese. Do you speak churchese? Maybe not. This Sunday is Pentecost, right? Pentecost is a churchese word. People that don't go to church don't really know that word. Well, it means 50 days. That's it. 50 days after Easter. Pentecost marks the birth of the church. Maybe that's a churchese kind of phrase. That, you know, the birth of the church, that means when the Holy Spirit came, when the church was born, when the Protestant church, no, when the Christian church as we know it, it kind of starts existing. There are other churchese phrases that we use. Sometimes in our Bible readings, we just have all of this stuff. Or there's some other things that are churchese that maybe we don't use too often, but we've said so many times, we just think that everyone knows what it means. Like, the Lord works in mysterious ways. What that really means is, I have no idea what is going on. There's your churchese for that. We don't hear this too much here, but I do hear it in church circles. I was convicted to say something. That means I thought I should say something. Related to that, the Lord told me to means I thought I should. I know I'm jumping into non-religious territory, but really, doesn't it mean that when we say these things? Some fun ones. Well, bless your heart. That means you don't have a clue. Or, there is no way I approve of what you're doing. A powerful one, a mean and powerful one is, why don't you pray about that? Because what that really means is, you're wrong, and you better change your mind. How about God-pleasing? You hear that in all kinds of circles. We need to live God-pleasing. And really what that means is, based upon my rules, my bubble here, me-pleasing. Because we decide, right, what God wants. We have churchese. These aren't the only churchese phrases. Question is, why do we have it, and why do we still think it's okay? Because all churchese really does is tell people who aren't in the know that they're not welcome or accepted. And we've been doing it for years. Not just here. I mean, the church has been doing it for years. We're really good at taking something intended to be inclusive and make it exclusive. On the day of Pentecost, that's today where we're celebrating, all of these people were gathered, and all these people spoke in this dialect that they thought was, you know, this is the dialect everyone speaks in, the language everyone speaks in, but not really. And there's all these people from different places, and they start hearing in their own language. It was meant to be inclusive, not exclusive. Okay, so we've got this book, right? We read from it every week. This one is the New Revised Standard Version. Long, long time ago, nobody could read the Bible because it was written in Greek and Hebrew, and so some scholars got together and put it into Latin, the common language of the day, a Bible that was called the Vulgate, Latin. Vulgate. Our word vulgar is connected to it, but vulgar meaning common, not vulgar meaning obscene, how it comes in there. And over time, this Bible in Latin became, first it was something that everyone could get to, but then it became this language that nobody spoke anymore, yet it was still the holy book. And what happened after that? Nobody was could read it. And so this guy named James, he may have been a royal, said we should come up with a new translation so that we can all read it. And so it was put together. Scholars got together and they put together this book that everyone could read. It's the King James Version of the Bible. And then over time, it becomes almost not understandable, but it becomes the holy book. There are still people that say, if it's not the King James Version, it's not the Bible. And so we keep trying to translate so people can understand it. It's not supposed to be a secret that if you don't get the lofty language or if you don't get the language that it's in, you can't read it. Churchese, it's not good. So it's Pentecost. It's about inclusive, not exclusive. We like the coming of the Holy Spirit part, right? And we laugh or we have fun with the tongues of fire. Dick and I were talking today and he said, what was your thing? He said, hey, the Bic lighters are going to arrive at about 10:15. So everyone can have one and whoosh, there we go. Flame on top of the head. We like that part, right? Maybe it was scary to them then, but we celebrate Pentecost, this wind that comes in. But what about the other parts that maybe we don't celebrate? How about the disciples that looked drunk? I know it says that people sneered and says, oh, they're just drunk, but probably was something going on. They looked drunk. Do we celebrate that part? Or these probably unholy things, I mean the flame, the wind, floating fire, strange languages. There's more to it, too. There's stuff all through it. But how about at the end, this part? Do we celebrate this part? All are saved. I know it says all who call on the name of the Lord are saved. But there really isn't a prerequisite. There isn't a behavior. There isn't a language you have to speak. There isn't anything that you have to have. It said all were saved. What about people with struggles we don't see? What about people with struggles that make us uncomfortable? Are they saved? Or let's take it into a different context. Are they welcome? Are they part of the community? Just me saying they makes it exclusive instead of inclusive. What about people with struggles we don't see? What about people with struggles that make the collective uncomfortable? The church has remained silent too long about mental health. I know it's all connected, but the church really has remained silent for too long. Is it possible that we still hold to the awful thought that mental illness is a punishment for sin? Of course not, but do we really? Maybe? We act that way. And that says that we do believe it. We act as if people who live with mental illness don't have faith enough to be healed or restored or whole. Even if intellectually we would never say it or do it, but we think about that. Pentecost turns that on its ear. It doesn't say people of any kind are not part of the community. Seeing flames of fire, a loud wind, hearing other languages out of the mouths of people who don't speak those languages, it's not a hallucination in the Pentecost story. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to turn away from. See, here it comes. Pentecost is an invitation to welcome, include, support, and engage all who live with everything. But specifically, it's an invitation to welcome, include, support, and engage all who live with mental illness. The disciples don't sound particularly great in this story. Yet God didn't abandon them. Not just the Pentecost story, but the whole story. God didn't turn them away. God included them in the building of the early church. There's too much weird. There's too many mistakes. We would never let these disciples build the church. We would dismiss them, just like we like to dismiss the bad parts of the story. Just like we might want to dismiss all who call on the name of the Lord are saved. Maybe I'm going too far with that. Maybe I'm going in the wrong direction. Some would say that this Bible reading speaks of God's power and reminds us that the Holy Spirit is a mystery and completely untamable. Okay? But it could have a whole lot more to say to us, especially today. This is Mental Health Sunday. How about we begin with the last part? All who call on God's name are saved. No comment on right theology. No behavior. No right thinking. No right living. It doesn't say those who struggle with physical or mental illness have no place in the body of Christ. The strange story of Pentecost. It says that salvation, the love of God shown in Christ, is for all people. If we take it even out of that context, it says that life, goodness, restoration, being part of the community is for all people. What would we say if someone told us this story today, the Pentecost story? Someone came into the worship service and said that they saw flames above our heads. We might say it was a hallucination. But at Pentecost, it wasn't. They told us they heard the sound of a mighty and rushing wind. We might say it's a hallucination. They added that they heard us speaking in languages not our own. We would think that Star Trek became real. No, we would look at it and say, what's going on? We'd probably just shake our heads and turn away. Maybe we'd back away in fear, and either one would be wrong to do. And how wrong we would be if we heard that story and we just said, that's not real. God doesn't turn people away. Neither can we. Pure and simple. We can't continue to be a people of exclusive language. I know most of our language is just regular language, but we can't be a people of even a little bit of exclusive language. We have to explain things that we say if they seem to be church-ese. We can't be a people who shy away from conversation with folks we disagree with. We can't be scattered and apart. We're all part of God's family. We're all part of the group that should be part of the conversation. A caring community of Christ for all. A people of prayer and action for all. A beacon of hope, justice, and peace for all. And how do we do that? Well, we have learned from Scripture. We have learned over several years in our lives. We've learned here in the sanctuary on Sundays or whenever else, that really there's one thing that is the way to all of that. Love is the way. More guns is not the way. Reinstating the death penalty is not the way. Demonizing opposing viewpoints is not the way. Shooting protesters is not the way. Non-disclosure agreements is not the way. Threats of violent retribution is not the way. A secret language or secret privilege is not the way. Deciding you want to scold me for getting too political right now is not the way. Hate is not the way. Love is the way. Anybody get up early yesterday? Maybe watch a wedding? Yeah. You hear the sermon? Wow. Most Reverend Michael Curry, who is a Chicago native. Whoop, whoop for Chicago. He's the bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States. He gave the sermon, and oh, this is part of what he said. You want to go back and listen to the whole thing. It's worth, but it's like 20 minutes long or something, or 15 minutes long, so we're not going to do the whole thing. But this is it the crux? It's beautiful. He said, think and imagine a world when love is the way. Imagine our homes and families when love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities when love is the way. Imagine governments and nations when love is the way. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. When love is the way, there is no child who will go to bed hungry ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there is plenty, good room for all of God's children. Think and imagine a world when love is the way. So with love is the way, love as the way, where do we start? Where do we start as a congregation? I know we keep starting. We get to start every week. We get to start over and over again. Because I know we mess up. We get to start again. Where do we start? Here? I mean, here's some practical things we can do. How about a book study? There's a sign up out in the narthex. We're going to be going to begin a book study with the book Blessed Are the Crazy, Breaking the Silence About Mental Illness, Family, and the Church. It's written by my friend Sarah Lund. She is a minister in Indiana and also the minister for disabilities ministries within the United Church of Christ. Blessed Are the Crazy. We'll have some books. I think they're $13 a piece, or if you don't have money to buy one, just when we get them, you can use that. We're going to read it together. It's not a very long book. We'll get together a few times to talk about it. Here's another thing. I'm going to say we're going to start this, but what I'm saying is we need to start this. I want to start this. Let's get together and let's do this. Let us start a spiritual support group for mental health. It doesn't cost us anything to do this. It's a loving, supportive, and confidential meeting place. It's held regularly, sponsored by a faith community like us, where those challenged with mental illness and or their family members and friends can just share and hear how faith can be helpful. There's a resource sheet in the narthex that you can take a look at for more info on that. We've already begun offering mental health first aid training. We've had a couple of them that have taken place here, a couple that got canceled because there weren't enough people, but we're going to do more of those. You can sign up with links on our website. We've coordinated many opportunities with NAMI DuPage, the National Alliance on Mental Illness DuPage, for speakers and classes to help nurture mental health. And it's been 2 or 3 years since I brought this up, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to work together to become a wise congregation for mental health. There's a 10-step guide in the narthex to look at that too. Wise, welcome, welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health. So we've already begun, and we can keep going. We're on our way. We are, and we will continue to make the world a better place, living out God's vision. Remember that? We spent the fall doing it. It's been incorporated into all kinds of things that we're doing, that we're thinking about. We're a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. That's the spirit. Amen.